Welcome to Worship at the Vineyard. Isn't it a beautiful day to worship God freely? So thankful. And today I am going to address a band topic. Now, in the family in which I grew up, we had something called banned topics. And these were things you had to absolutely avoid in conversations because they caused conflict. So we had to keep the peace. And, you know, these could be things about, you know, politics, sex, relationships, religion, weight, vaccines, conspiracy theories. I mean, they were all taboo. Basically, we talked about weather and sports. Okay, so my brother might say, you know, why did John stop going to church? Banned topic. What happened to Susie's engagement? Banned topics. Did mom change something in her pie recipe? Banned topic. Okay, you get the idea. Okay. Well, today, since this is my church family, you know, not my bio family, I'm going to share on a banned topic. And this is a topic that many families and churches don't like to talk about. Well, when they talk about it, it gets a really bad reputation because they address it in the wrong way. No, it's not sex. It's not politics. No, it's not even Elvis. But what it is, I'm going to talk about money. Now, don't leave, because giving, being generous with our money, is a rebellious act against the greed of our culture. And yet, it is entirely in alignment with the kingdom of God. See, when our intentional giving, our generosity, flows from an understanding of God's plan and His empowering grace, it leads to an abundant life. And I'm here to say this church family, so many of you, and most importantly, God's word are all proof that godly giving is good. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful. You're the original giver. For you so loved us, you gave us your only son. And we are so grateful. We want to reflect your generosity, Lord, as your sons and daughters. Teach us today, oh Holy Spirit, break down any resistance we have. Come with fresh revelation of the Father's love and his generosity towards us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when I share with my husband, Happy, that my focus in our one-year Bible message series on Corinthians was going to be on money, he said, wait, that's crazy, Di. The only thing you know about money is how to spend it. It's like, guilty. Okay, Happy is the financial guru in our family. I mean, after all, you have to remember, he did promise me, as he proposed at a frat party, over here at the University of Illinois, 1971, he said, Di, I'm going to be a millionaire by age 30. Will you marry me? Yes. I was currently working in the slop kitchen of the dorm cafeteria on 4th Street. It didn't take much consideration. Well, Happy got his MBA. He started on that million and was called by God to be a pastor. Oh, wait a minute. Pastor by 30, not millionaire. But as I told our children many times, we are rich in so many ways. Well, you might clap. But when the kid wanted the Nike shoes, that wasn't so good. It's okay. Okay. Actually, thanks to Jesus and the Apostle Paul, I do know a whole lot more about money than how to spend it. I mean, I didn't grow up knowing anything about tithing or regularly giving to a church, but I did have godly generosity modeled beautifully by my father. As a matter of fact, he was so giving. One time, he practically gave away a good part of our inheritance to a devious relative, and until my mother stood in his path and said, wait, you have 6 children. And it was settled. Well, back in 1977, after Happy and I were first filled with the Holy Spirit, I heard a preacher speak on tithing, that intentional giving back of the first 10% of your income to God through the local church. I'd never heard of it before. I was raised in a church that didn't preach that at all, and so this was new to me, but I knew it was true. It spoke to my heart, giving back to God intentionally. And 10%, what's that? Okay, so I told Hap, and he had heard the same preacher. He wasn't quite as convinced, but we waited until we came to agreement. Good lesson for a marriage if you want it to last 54 years, okay? Come into agreement, and from that moment on, we agreed to follow God's plan. And I'm telling you, our lives have changed radically forever, okay? Now, each of you, you have your own journey with money. And, you know, I don't know how you were raised. I don't know many of your church backgrounds. I don't know your debts, your habits. And you might even be squirming now. You didn't want to come to church and hear about this. Well, I'm very thankful for a very clear revelation about money from God's word. Because, you know, the kingdom's way is totally opposite the world's way, and we're surrounded by the world's way, right? Whether it's fear, scarcity, I won't have enough. I can't begin to think about being generous, or greedy. You know, I need more. I need what they have, right? More in order to be happy. And then spend. And guess what? Happiness plummets. It's statistically proven. Okay, that's the world's way. On the other hand, the kingdom way is generosity. Jesus talked over and over again about being generous, not just with our money, but with a lot of things, but he talked a lot about money too. One of my favorite texts is from Luke 6:38, where Jesus says, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap." Now that's counterintuitive, right? Give, okay, take that step of faith, give generously, knowing what? God's going to give back abundantly. Oh, and it's true. And here at the Vineyard, we talk about godly giving as two essential actions. And I have a slide for that. We talk about stewardship and generosity. And stewardship is where we teach you, this is in our Kingdom Finance class, which is, you can access online. It's a very well done class, just to talk about basics of handling your money, of saving, spending, budgeting, giving. And then we also talk about generosity, which is going to be my focus today. So today is the focus, not necessarily on stewardship, but generosity, which is part of stewardship. But okay, let me just address quickly, though, why is money a banned topic among believers? Well, I think there's a lot of reasons, but two I can think of right away. You don't have to have been living very long and on any kind of media to know in the church money has been abused over and over and over. Whether it's preachers living the high life, like buying 10 airplanes, or it's, you know, all kinds of promises of hyper prosperity. And I'm very sorry for that, because it causes people to be skeptical, to be reluctant about giving. I get that. It actually affects pastors. Like, we often don't want to talk about it because of all the bad reputation that's out there. But secondly, at the core, I think, of our reluctance to give is simply just basically in ignorance. Many times we don't know. And then a distrust of God's plan. You know, his generosity, his desire to bless us, provide for us abundantly, care for us. And so we hold on to our money. You know, we are, or we give grudgingly, or we give out of guilt. And we're just reluctant to trust God and trust his plan. So if the kingdom way is generosity, I'm asking today, how can we be motivated to truly be genuinely generous? Not out of guilt, You know, not with gritted teeth. How can we trust God's desire to generously bless us as we generously share with others? We often say it here, we're blessed to be a blessing. Well, our text today, as I said, we're in our one-year Bible, but we're journeying through Corinthians. We're now in 2 Corinthians. Yesterday and today, we read 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. And guess what? It's all about generosity, but it's all about money. Again, you can be generous in many ways, but today we're talking about money. And these chapters are specifically about being generous with those in need, being generous with the poor. And so I was just studying these chapters and meditating on it, and I'm like, what compelled these believers to be so genuinely generous? Because when you read the background on these early saints, many of them were desperately poor, okay? It's not like they had tons of money, and so, oh yeah, I'll write. Well, they didn't write checks. You know, I'll give a coin for that, okay? No, many of them were not wealthy. They were very poor themselves. So I'm reading through 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, and I noted a fact I hadn't zeroed in on before. I've read these passages many times, but depending on the translation you use, you know, words pop up differently. And I noticed a word that occurred seven times in the ESV version. Often we read the New Living. This is the English version translation. I'm like, what? Why is that? What is that? What's going on here? Well, that word that popped up seven times was the word grace. Charis in the Greek. Well, what does grace have to do with giving generously? Well, it turned out a whole lot, actually. Let me just briefly define grace. That's kind of a churchy word, you know, like, oh, undeserved favor. You know, there's lots of different connotations. I like this definition. Grace is God's empowering to do what you cannot do on your own. It's his favor, his kindness, his love given freely and lavishly to his children. Wow. I want to make this statement. It is totally possible to give without a deep understanding of God's grace. Again, you can give out of guilt, duty, pressure, but it is impossible to have a deep understanding of grace and not give. Intentionally, generously, cheerfully. You see, when we comprehend God's incredible grace towards us in every aspect of our lives, you know, we're made in his image, and we want to reflect his image of generosity to all those around us, including giving our money. We're compelled to be like God. Okay, let's go to the text. Now, the background is the Apostle Paul, he's the writer of the Corinthian chapters. He's writing to a church in Corinth, which is in the southern part of Greece, and he's encouraging them that he's going to be coming to receive a collection, and he wants them to be ready to give generously. And he's collecting for another group of believers over in Jerusalem who are in desperate, desperate need. So poverty is ruining their lives. They need help. And so Paul is appealing now to the Corinthian leaders. We have all these believers in Jerusalem, and they need help. And then, as a way of encouragement, Paul is going to reference the generosity of the believers in northern Greece. So here's Corinth down here, Jerusalem's, you know, over here somewhere, all right? But he's going to say, hey, these churches in northern Greece, specifically the Macedonian region, they have been exemplary in giving to this collection, specifically to the poor. You see, look how generous they are. Now, come on, do the same. I love Paul. Isn't he so ordinary? He said, be ready to give. You promised me you were going to be generous. Now, don't embarrass me. Okay? So that's kind of the context of his letter. I'm going to pick up now in 2 Corinthians 8:1. This is Paul to the Corinthian believers. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that had been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord, and then by the will of God to us. Accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this act of grace. But as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in all earnestness, and in our love for you, see that you excel in this act of grace. Wow. So the grace of God had been given to these Macedonian believers, his empowering to do what they couldn't do on their own, but they displayed outlandish generosity. Just in the midst of their own poverty, they were eager to give. They begged to give. They overflowed. Note the language here? It's just like outlandish. They overflowed with the wealth of generosity to the poor. Okay, all right. How does all this work? Well, that gives us a clue here. They gave themselves first to the Lord. Lord, you are the great giver. You are the provider. We're trusting you. We love you. Then they gave to others as they received his empowering to do what they couldn't do on their own. Okay, how does this work in 2025? I'm glad you ask. I'm going to tell you the story of a beautiful friend and member of our church family, Claudine Townsend. And there she is. She is beautiful. I contacted Claudine because I've had several conversations with her just in passing, and she always glowed with joy as she recounted her absolute delight in being generous. And I thought, you know, what's her story? So I was chatting with her, and I was shocked at her story. I didn't know it. You see, unknown to me, Claudine and her husband were homeless. They were living in a hotel. Their finances were a total mess. She said, we were being ridiculed. We were ashamed. You know, we had nothing. She said, at the time, they didn't attend church. They knew nothing about God's plan for giving and generosity. And she shared she didn't even know what the word tithe meant. Well, as they committed to church, they discovered God's incredible love for them, first of all. Then his commands to seek him first and his promise, he's going to add all. And they learned of his invitation to tithe, to give the first 10% of their income back to God through the local church. Not as an obligation, she said. Not we didn't feel forced, out of our love for him, out of trusting him and his way. They gave themselves first to the Lord. Okay. Well, because they were in complete debt, and she said, and disobedience, we realized we knew repentance was the first thing that had to happen. Don't you love this? How the Holy Spirit works in our hearts? She said, we repented for our disobedience to God. And secondly, we got tremendously convicted of our terrible treatment of the poor. They themselves are poor. She said, I clearly saw from scriptures God's heart for the poor, how important it was. And she said, we made a commitment to be generous in that way. And oh, the Holy Spirit has led them to follow God's way of giving and generosity. And now their situation began to turn around. They received jobs. a home of their own. Their debts begin to decrease. They actually opened their home to others who needed a place to stay for a while. Again, caring for the poor as compassion just flooded their hard hearts. She said, I can't believe how stingy and selfish we were. We weren't trusting God with our tithes and offerings. We didn't trust him with provision. And now they find true joy, really, in trusting God. And she said recently, she said, you know, money is tight. We're still, you know, working on reducing our debt. But God told her to give $1,000. That's a lot of money to somebody that she knew was in need. So she obeyed. She did that. And wouldn't you know, this often happens. Like a few days, I'm not sure how much longer, maybe a week later, her car breaks down and it needs what? $1,000 repair. You know, about then you want to say, really, God? Oh, no, not Claudine. Oh, God, help. She goes into work. A coworker hands her a check for $1,000 to pay for her car repair. I'm like, you can't make this stuff up. This is a picture of Claudine and her beautiful family. And I'm so thankful she gave herself first to the Lord. She's excelling in the grace of giving that Paul has exhorted all of us, including the Corinthian believers. You know, this means generosity. This is not an optional add-on, really, to the Christian life, as much as you might want it to be. It's a mark of growing in grace. Giving to the poor is a huge, huge part of this growth. So let's back up a little bit. What is this revelation of grace? Again, that Paul explains. Well, he goes on in verse 8. He says, now I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love also is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And I don't care how much you want to spiritualize that text, it means what it says. Okay, because he's talking about financial provision. Of course, Jesus, we know, gave up the splendor of heaven, the riches of heaven. He did become poor. He became a human being. He lived modestly. He lived generously. He had his needs met. But then he gave the ultimate sacrifice. You see, he took the curse, and it is a curse. He took the curse of poverty upon himself. He took the curse of sin and shame and sickness and separation from our loving Father. He took it upon himself. He became a curse, Galatians tells us. Gave his own body to redeem us from all of Satan's bondage and give us brand new lives, abundant lives. That's a picture of God's grace, okay? That's his outrageous generosity towards us. I mean, sometimes we can just get dull, can't we, and unappreciative of all that God has done. And then God awakens us. He awakens to his overflowing grace, to all that Jesus has done, all that Jesus is doing and wants to do. You know, it's happening right now. The Spirit is being poured out on us. Hundreds, you know, are being baptized. I mean, as you heard earlier, you can too today. If that's the Holy Spirit's moving on your heart, people are encountering the amazing grace of God in so many ways. And, you know, we've seen God often moves in waves, you know, and we're always grateful for these. Back in 2012, we had a wave of the Spirit here that brought a deeper revelation of God's grace. Our eyes were open to the glorious grace of God and the finished work of Jesus through the cross and resurrection. Many of us saw again, oh, wait a minute. Jesus has wiped out my sin, past, present, future. He's filled me with his Holy Spirit to live a life of holiness, righteousness. We saw the gospel displayed in all of its incredible splendor afresh. And it changed all of us. We saw the generosity again of our good, good Father. He's not stingy. He's not withholding. He gave his best. His only son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'm telling you, love exploded around here. It actually hasn't stopped. And our faith in the goodness of God and his generosity blossomed. And when we realize the depths of God's grace in our lives, you know, we can confidently say, I have everything, therefore I'm free to give everything. Freely we've received. Freely we can give. Again, giving is such a work of God's grace in our hearts. That's no human effort, okay? It's his transforming power that empowers us to do what we wouldn't choose on our own. Okay, well, Paul, he's going to now continue his exhortation into 2 Corinthians 9, and he's going to give us what I like to call tips. You know, he says, I'm not commanding this. But it's like, you want to choose the best way? Okay? He says, do it this way. And he's going to give us three things. He's going to say, in your giving, first of all, be intentional. Then be bountiful. And lastly, be cheerful. I love them. And he uses a farming analogy, which is so apropos for us in the Midwest because we're harvesting right now. And this is what he says. He's again, telling them, I want you to give. And okay, now I'm going to pick up in verse 6. He says, the point is this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Okay, you want to just give a little? Okay. But whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he's decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion. Oh no, God loves a cheerful giver. So he's saying, it's your choice. You can give a little or you can give a lot. It's your choice. Now he says, I'm going to recommend, why not? Bountiful is best, right? Yes, according to your heart. Not forced, you know, not pressured. And boy, don't give it grudgingly. Let's be cheerful. Why? Because you're cooperating with God. You're partnering with God. You're trusting him, not only to bless them, but to bless you and to care for you. And then Paul gives us this stunning conclusion. This is the reward. God's a rewarder. Did you know that? He's a rewarder. He's so good. He says, and God is able to make all grace, I want it, abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things, at all times, you may abound in every good work. He who supplies seed to the sower, bread for food, will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to what? Be generous in every way which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. That's a lot of alls and everys. I mean, the bottom line is God makes all grace abound so that we abound, having all sufficiency in all things at all times for all works. It's so good. We've witnessed this over and over again as a church family, as individuals, enriched in every way for what? To be generous in every way. Let me tell you another quick story. This is the story of our good friend, Dr. Sidibe. He's from the very desperately poor nation of Mali in Africa. And we love him dearly. He's not only a medical doctor, but he is a vineyard pastor and leader. And several people from our vineyard family have traveled there. My husband, Happy, Mike Yoder, our senior pastor, Leah Wanger, Melissa Hanstatt, Jim and Vicky Ugly. We've had people there on the ground witnessing the work he's doing. It's very, very powerful, but they're very poor. Well, he was able to attend our More Love, More Power conference last spring, and he shared that they have a tremendous need there in his medical clinic because they have 7 or 8 birthing rooms for mothers to give birth, but they're lacking proper equipment, and that has resulted in, unfortunately, the death of babies. And so he said life-saving equipment there would cost about $7,800. So we put that need out, and we received the offering for the poor, you know, just like in the Corinthians, receiving, you know, the offering for the poor. And I'm so proud of our church family. $7,800 was not given. Over $17,000 was given to purchase a substantial amount of new equipment. And we have a picture of just one of the, I think that's like a bilirubin bed or something, I'm not sure, but anyway. Okay, you might be saying, okay, how do I participate? Like many of us, we do have a passion to help. We're surrounded by need. You know, you drive to Target, there's the homeless man. You know, we're surrounded. We watch the media. We know the world is hurting, and you might even be drowning in your own debts. I get that. Well, let me tell you quickly how it works for our family, the Vineyard Church, and that's including all of you who call our church home. We do have a solid, proven track record, by God's grace, of integrity. All bills paid, no debt, no begging for money for 47 years, and we have a reputation for abundant generosity. That is our church family, by the grace of God. And it starts with a revelation of God's amazing grace, his desire to generously bless us, okay? And he's put in place a wise plan that obedience brings blessing. We have this, again, our godly giving slide there. We have our kingdom finance course where you can learn about stewardship. You can learn about what it means to give and how to budget your money. And you need to know that your faithful tithes, they cover the costs of the lights, you know, the air conditioning, the garbage, the maintenance, the salaries, the coffee. And we gave away over 3,000 Bibles in the last 2 years. Okay. So that's the tithing, the stewardship, and then generosity. Let me just address that for the last 2 minutes. You see, your offerings, which we just define as anything given over your 10%, okay? They're generously shared with those in need. And we have a deep commitment here to be generous to the poor. And when you give offerings at the Vineyard in addition to your tithe, you might say, okay, well, where does that money go? Well, many of you are familiar. Every week at our Hope Center, we give out food to usually at least 400 families, sometimes more. So that's part of it. Then some of you here, you know, we have a benevolence fund. If you've had an emergency, you can't pay your rent or your electrical bill, we have a fund that can help carry you through until things turn around. And of course, we have our partner, that Convoy of Hope, which works all around the world. Those disasters that you know about and you're like, I want to give to that. Guess what? When you give here, we give a substantial amount of money to Convoy of Hope right now. They're in Afghanistan. Most of you know there was over a 6-point earthquake there. I think on September 1st, it's killed over 2,000 people, many, many more hurt, entire villages destroyed. You are on the ground in Afghanistan, because Convoy of Hope is there. And we're giving away water and food and shelter and clothing. And some of you, this is fine too, you give to local groups because you have a relationship with them. You know, like Salvation Army, Jesus is the Way Prison Ministry, Living Alternatives Pregnancy Center. And we partner with some of those places. But everyone's free to give offerings as the Holy Spirit directs. Now, just to help you know even a little bit more, your generous giving, which is resulting in these offerings, these are just some of the organizations that we regularly give to. So, you know, Cunningham Children's Home, the Restoration Urban Ministries, Convoy of Hope is there. We have a partnership with King School. Many times, you know, we do even material collections. Like here in October, we're going to collect socks during Socktober for the homeless shelters. Now, I have a picture here. This is a man from the Strides homeless shelter with all the socks that we donated. And then we also have this awesome partnership with King School where we buy school supplies. And here's some of our people boxing up school supplies. Okay, just to let you know, we can say with assurance what Paul tells us. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. Well, Father, you are the most generous Father imaginable. Pour out your grace on us today that we can be empowered to reflect that generosity in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen.